Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 40 of The Good, The Dan, The Florida Man. With you, as always, your hosts.
I'm Ryan, I'm The Good, and...
I'm Dan, I'm The Dan, and...
I'm Ben, I'm The Florida Man. If this is your first episode, thank you for joining us. We are three stand-up comedians that got shut down as COVID hit, and we turn to a podcast where we talk about...
Everything.
What do we talk about?
We talk about everything and anything.
We tell
a lot of stories.
We've been talking to teachers. We've been discussing Lonnie Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Lonard.
We've been discussing the new year.
We have story times and history chats and interviews.
Everything.
And today's episode, because we took the big hiatus during December and January, we'll be responding to a lot of the audience submission questions and emails that you guys sent in during the couple of months that we took off. So stick around, and we'll get to those.
Yes.
Before we get there, we still are stand-up comedians, so you can still see us on tour. Ryan, where can I see you?
If you guys want to see me, you can come to my live comedy taping of my special Girlfriends and Girlfriends. Come check it out at March 5th in St. Louis, Missouri at Westminster Christian Academy. Come hang out. Come do our thing. That is where I went to high school. For those in St. Louis asking the classic St. Louis question of where'd you go to high school? That is it. So, yeah. Oh, Daniel.
I'm doing open mics and joining this guy on tour, and his tour dates are...
Oh, yeah. So we have a couple left in February. On the 27th, we'll be in Batavia, Illinois at the Comedy Vault. The 28th, we'll be in Chicago at Zany's. March 1st, Appleton, Wisconsin at Skyline. March 2nd, Fort Wayne, Indiana at the Summit City. March 3rd, Louisville, Kentucky at the Louisville Comedy Club. The 8th, Richmond, Virginia at the Funny Bone. The 9th, Virginia Beach, Virginia at the Funny Bone. The 11th, Lake Park, Florida at the Lake Park Black Box. And the 12th, we'll be in Boca Raton, Florida at the Boca Black Box.
Yes!
Nice. We did it.
We did it. All right, we're going to hop in here with our audience submissions. We'll kick it off with you, Dan.
Yes.
It's okay. An audience submission show.
Perfect. Allison C. says, so I'm not sure that this fits the podcast, but here goes nothing. My fiance left me the night before Thanksgiving this year, where I had to host 8 people and make a turkey without breaking down. He said, I love you, but I don't think we work anymore, and I don't think therapy will help. We are done. The turkey came out damn good.
I appreciate you for putting that detail.
Wow. Power move.
Yeah, she was like, if I'm not gonna make a relationship work, I'm gonna make this turkey work, bitch.
She cooked her feelings.
Right.
Did I go into the walk-in pantry to sob after basting the turkey every 15 minutes? Yes, but the turkey came out great. That was a rough week of calling to cancel venues, caterers, and my last dress fitting. Wow, I'm so sorry. Have any of you had a partner break up with you at a bad time? The podcast has helped a lot with keeping me busy and together.
Great time for a hiatus, huh?
Yeah, right. Maybe we shouldn't have taken time off.
No. Have you ever had a partner break up with you at a bad time?
I've never been broken up with.
Have you broken up with somebody at a bad time?
No, but I've gotten in fights at bad times. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm always getting in a fight at a bad time. Like, it's like, right before the ACT, I fell asleep in the ACT.
Oh, really?
Still got a 30, I think. So flex. But I fell asleep during the ACT because my high school girlfriend and I, like, had a fight the night before. And I don't even remember what it was about. I'm sure it was something dumb. It was just...
I've never been in a fight important enough to not sleep.
Oh, no, it was just long. It was just a long fight. It was just up late at night.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have.
Yeah, no, you're smart.
I was like, we can talk about this in the morning if you want to, but I'm going to sleep.
I have the ACT tomorrow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even need the ACT. I'd just be like, I have to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking to you and being awake.
I got stuck. a guy broke up with me, not necessarily right as COVID happened. We kind of started hooking up right as COVID happened, and then... basically, like, 4 or 5 months down the line, he was just like, hey, I know we've been, like, hooking up and, like, chilling with each other, but I don't want to do this anymore. See ya. Well, he didn't say that. Do you want to know what he really said?
Yeah.
I've been hooking up with multiple people every single night since we started meeting.
Every night?
Every night. And
the stamina on that man.
You should get checked. And I don't want to be around you anymore. And I said... I just remember just being, like, absolutely one heartbroken. It was, like, the first time I had, like... Well, I had a few partners at that point, but, right. Like... Because we had a slightly open relationship, but at that point he had been, like, we should commit to each other. So I was, like,
he
cool.
said it.
He said that. Huh. Did. And then he did all of that sort of stuff. And it was just
wow.
Wild. Just crazy. don't have anything, luckily.
That's great.
Yeah.
We love that.
Fantastic. Yeah, high five for that.
Yeah. But that was maybe a really bad time. Not necessarily a bad time to get broken up with, but just a bad time. So
is that a bad time to get broken up with? Any time that it goes like that, it's a bad time to get broken up with.
Like, well, I just remember like asking him, I was like, well, do you have something? And he's like, no, but I've been hooking up with enough people that it should be like a concern. And I was like,
a concern?
Oh, great. All right. Wonderful. Anyway.
So, oh, my gosh.
I apologize. That sucks. But I'm glad your turkey turned out great.
I'm glad it did too. Proud of you.
Also, you're not going to agree with me on this. I don't think there is a quote unquote bad time to break up with someone.
It's the tears that make it taste great.
It's like, I understand emotionally you would feel better if it happened at a different time. But like from the other perspective, you'd rather someone just be not happy for longer so that you could feel better.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing.
Or they could have done it earlier.
They could have done it earlier.
Unless it wasn't like a decided thing earlier.
Well, I will say this. There are definitely bad times, like the wedding day.
Yeah.
That's a bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah, would you rather be broken up with on your wedding day or a year later when you have a kid and you have to get a divorce now because this person hasn't loved you, but they were waiting for a good time to break up with you?
A year before, easily.
But like also, what is
no year before.
No, but I see that's in my mind, there's a year before.
That's a therapy thing for you.
Right. No, I don't think so.
What's the bad like timing here?
The bad timing is that it was Thanksgiving. They were hosting 8 people and had to cook the turkey and fiance. So they were.
Yeah, but that's what I'm asking. Which one is worse in your mind? The fact that she got broken up with before Thanksgiving and she had to cook the turkey?
Oh, neither
one. Or is it that?
Yeah,
okay.
Well, because I don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Uh huh.
And
Jehovah's Witness. Yeah.
So I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. So that's arbitrary to me. And I know it means more to other people. And I think hosting 8 people is the more important than the fact
that it was
Thanksgiving. Yeah. But you know,
I prefer that he break up with me at Thanksgiving than before Christmas, to be honest with you.
I'd rather you just break up with me as soon as you have the feeling of wanting to break up with me.
That's the ideal situation. These people are now engaged. What's the right time to break up with
someone? Immediately. As soon as you have the feeling of, I don't want this anymore, then you break up with them.
After these people leave. You've already had so many people over. Just suck it up for 4 more hours.
They weren't over yet.
Yeah, you're right. But it's like this whole event's going to be done in 4 hours. Just have a nice night and then just cut it off after that. I would say that, yeah. Like, it's just, you're putting a lot of pressure or like a lot of stress on something that didn't need to have a lot of stress to it for everyone.
Well, but here's an counter argument, and I'm not trying to defend his actions. He's a shitty person. But
absolutely.
Maybe the thought process was, well, if I break up with her today, then tomorrow she has our friends to kind of like help her and be like a support system to her.
God, no, not to like tomorrow. Like it's in a couple of hours.
No.
She said the night before.
The night before.
My bad. Yeah. So maybe that's the thought process is like, we can have, like, it can be helpful.
Dude, they're going to talk such mad game about you at Thanksgiving. Like, why would you set yourself up for that?
Well, he's not there anymore. He doesn't care at all.
Or maybe her friends mainly? Right?
Yeah,
we don't know.
I am just of the belief that, like, nothing actually matters.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to break up with me, don't worry about anything else that's happening. Just tell me so that I can start now moving on.
I get that. I'd still say.
But some people need a little. I also feel like at the point where you're a fiance, it's not going to be an immediate
Thanksgiving's over.
That's gonna be a year.
Thanksgiving's over. Now you're cleaning up. You break up with them while they're cleaning up. You leave them. You let them clean up by themselves. What if the next day someone's family dies? What if the next day it's like a birthday?
I agree. No, I fully agree with your point. I'm just saying, the amount of healing necessary in this situation for that is going to be a long.
Yeah,
so that's
absolutely
not really a good time.
Disagree. Like, I think that if it's going downhill, like you mentioned, someone in the family dies, even better. And here's why, in a super messed up way, they're already going down. Like, it's already sadness. You're just going to double down on that sadness. You know what I mean? Like, if you're already in the low boat, might as well just go for it.
This is a positive thing.
Here's the thing. I think there is a right and a wrong way of breaking up with somebody. But I don't think there is a right and a wrong time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you break up with somebody, it's like a thing where you sit down and you have this conversation and you work through that. What is this going to look like from here on out? Do you want that space first? Are we going to be friends? You can have that conversation as a human adult where you both have emotions and you put them out there and you see where you're at just as people. This relationship is not going to work. But like you're not a terrible person. Like, I don't want to lose you completely out of my life. So on, whatever you want to do, you can have that conversation with them. But like, there's the right way and then the wrong way to break up with someone. I don't think there's a right time or a wrong time to break up with someone. Because if this person was like emotionally mature, he could have this conversation the night before Thanksgiving and then still be like, look, I know it's going to be weird. You have 8 people. That's going to be stressful. Do you want me to stay to help with Thanksgiving?
I would agree with that. Yeah. I think that's the... I also do think, though, that as far as, like, keeping people that, like, in your life that you've broken up with, like, that's... It's actually a sign of psychopathy, which is fun to know. Yeah, it's a sign of psychopaths.
They can keep people they've been in relationships with?
Mm-hmm. In their lives. Yeah, it's a sign of being able to, like, so, like mentally, like, detach in weird ways. So it's like...
Well, I was just never bad terms with any of them.
That might be the case that normally people...
I just recently blocked a whole bunch of people that I've, like, had past relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
And so to your point, I will partially agree in being like, I think there is a mental, like, game. That being said, I also feel like my reasoning for keeping them around was mainly just because I was like, it would be nice to have those types of relationships, but I think it was them that was struggling the most. And so I was like, should I keep them around? No. And I feel like I'm bothering them, so I'm just going to, like, leave them alone type of vibes.
Also, right? I've never had a relationship longer than, like, 2 months, so I've never really been able to...
I can understand where that's a little bit. Yeah, but, like, longer-term relationships and things like that tends to be keeping people around for, like, sex, money, social status even, and like, social commitments. And so it's one of those things where normally it's a sign that, like, if you see someone who's in a relationship with, like, a lot of their exes, like, a red flag. Like, that is a waving red flag. Because that's, yeah, you're probably in trouble.
Okay.
Oh, it's me.
Yep.
JL. Hey, y'all. Really love the podcast. It's one of the few things that pulled me out of my depressive episode. Thank you for being awesome. I have a question for each of you and all of you. Ryan, could you explain how you came to have a crazy chick stalking you? Yes, I can. Dan, what is the one thing you wish you could bring here from Zimbabwe? Like, kind of food or place or anything? Ben, please rant for a minute about your philosophical beliefs when it comes to the money and the aspect of time and how your outlook affects the way you look at things in your daily life. For all of you, where do you think each of you fall on the alignment chart?
Okay, let's start with your question first, Ryan.
I dated her.
There you go. That's how she came to be stalking him. Dan, what is the one thing you wish you could bring home from Zimbabwe, bring here from Zimbabwe, like a kind of food or a place or anything?
Sata.
Huh?
Sata.
Sata?
It's the national dish. It's incredible. Okay. It's great. Amazing food. But done in the right way. And they make what we call a relish. It's more just like a stew. We just call it relish.
Okay.
Not like what relish is here. But yeah, sadza and relish.
And
wait, hold on. Please rant for a minute about your philosophical beliefs when it comes to money and the aspect of time and how your outlook affects the way you look at things in your daily life.
I got a timer set for 1 minute. You ready?
I guess so.
All right, here we go.
So first of all, neither of those things are real. Money's not real. Time isn't real. Money, when you look at it down, like, especially in America, we have a fiat system of money, which means it's arbitrary. There's no, like, thing that backs it up. We have money, and the only reason that has value is because we believe that it does. The government tells us that money has value, and we accept it. There's no intrinsic value of money. Time is real, but it can also be altered by going into space, walking really fast, other stuff, not walking really fast, but moving fast. Time slows down. Moving slow, time speeds up. All this crazy stuff. So time isn't really, it's not hard, it's not set, it's not stone. There's no, like, this is it. And a lot of times that we use time is to put unnecessary stress on everyone. So there's just like, oh, you didn't do this in 4 years? That's weird. That's a normal time for doing it. Stop. Time isn't real. You move at your pace, not the world's pace. Money isn't real. Time isn't real. People are real. So if you can use your money and your time to help people, that's what you really need to do. How does that affect my daily lookout on life? Nothing matters except for the people.
Wow, exactly 1 minute.
Exactly 1 minute. It's almost like I had that trained.
That was weirdly good.
I don't have that trained, but...
For all of you, what do you think you would fall on the alignment chart? Like, lawful good to chaotic evil? P.S. Ryan, love to hear more about the true crime-inspired stuff, but you... I love the 1919 episode. Thanks, y'all. Jay from Tennessee. Oh, I'd love to do more.
I am a chaotic neutral.
Yes. Yes, you are. I think I'm lawful good.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Dan?
Very lawful good.
I'm reading through them right now to make sure that I have, like, a good understanding. I think I'm chaotic good.
Chaotic good?
It says, very nice, full of typos, also exclamation points and smileys.
Oh, but that's maybe just, I'm like, a personality thing.
Okay.
There's chaotic, there's lawful, and then there's...
neutral.
Neutral, or the chaotic, neutral, and lawful.
I'm somewhere in between chaotic and neutral good, I feel like.
Okay.
I'm very much like, I don't care. A lot of stuff, and I'm just going to be like, whatever makes you happy.
Every now and then I can bring my extroverted side that I bring out occasionally is definitely chaotic good. Where it's just like, hi!
I love that it's just like that.
Dan.
Is it me again?
Yeah.
Hi, y'all. Super excited to see Ben for the Tampa show on December 12th.
Ooh. This was a while ago.
This will be my first time going to a comedy show. So what are the do's and don'ts of a show? Much love.
Don't talk during a show. Like, just don't talk to the comedian. He or she is trying to work. Please do not do that. Sorry.
Don't film. Do not record anything at that show.
Yes.
Don't audio record. Don't video record. Don't record the show.
Yes.
There's a reason I'm not.
Yeah. Do laugh. You came to a comedy show. You can laugh about stuff. You don't have to be cool because you brought a date. You don't have to be weird. The point of a comedy show is to come and laugh. Not if the jokes are bad, you don't have to. But I would say if you're coming to a comedy show, the purpose is for you to be able to find joy in things, so find the joy in things. Don't sit there sternly and be like,
And do tip the wait staff.
Yes!
Comedy clubs.
Do that,
comedy
please.
Clubs are a business. The only reason that comedians are allowed to come in them is because we bring butts to seats and those butts buy food. If you are terrible to the wait staff, guess who doesn't get to come back?
Yep.
But if you're really nice to the wait staff, they want us back.
Yeah. Also, come say hi to us after shows. It's always nice.
Yes. Do that.
It's me. Thank you for bringing joy to my life, as it's quite dark right now. This is from Landon P. Love your show. Please keep up the good work. The question is, where is the Pokemon episode? You've mentioned it twice and still has yet to appear. Mudkip for the win. It's hiding in the tall grass.
Maybe I don't know what the Pokemon episode is.
I don't remember what exactly we were supposed to do for the Pokemon episode.
I think...
Should we ask Doc? She know.
I think it might be something that we're not allowed to talk about.
No, I haven't mentioned that before.
I think you have.
No. Because I just started making it like a week or two ago.
I know, but I think we've talked about it on our podcast before.
We couldn't have.
We said we want to play that version of that thing. And they were like, what?
I don't think so.
No?
Maybe? I don't think
so. I don't
know.
I remember that. Maybe I'm thinking of a whole different conversation with someone else.
We don't know what the Pokemon episode is. Sorry.
Find it. Let us know, and we'll try and do it. I love Pokemon.
Desiree, feel free to ignore this because I'm not trying to kill the comedy vibe, but I have recently taken the Ben Brainerd approach and cut off a parent. First of all, I want to say thank you because my mental health has improved a lot the past few months, and I don't think I'd have gotten the courage to do it if you never made it seem like such a viable option. On the other hand, some days I feel a lot of guilt. Do you have any advice? So first of all, I want to say congratulations on cutting off a parent. I'm really proud of you. It's always a viable option. Second of all, I never felt guilt because
He's never felt guilt. He doesn't feel guilt.
Well, to me, it was them. They were the problem. Hmm. Like, I was a victim, and they were the problem. And so why would the victim feel guilty for being a victim and cutting off the problem? But I understand that's a very normal thing because society has trained you that they're your parents and you're supposed to love them. It's a hard thing. I don't think that I will be the one to be able to help you get over the guilt of that. That is something that you can bring up in therapy of like, hey, I feel guilty because I cut off a parent. I shouldn't because this parent was awful. I feel better mentally, but I still sometimes feel guilty cutting them off. How can I get over that? What are some tips and tricks? I don't have any. I'm sorry. I never felt guilt. It's hard. But do you guys anything on that one? How to get over the guilt of doing something?
Well, I just think that you should always, anytime that you are feeling guilty, think about the fact that if you didn't do what you did, the resentment would just continue to grow. You would just continue to gain a resentment towards that person, and it would continue to be a bad feeling towards that person, rather than kind of what you're experiencing right now, which is a more neutral or happy or slightly like, I don't like the way this is occurring, right? And you shouldn't feel guilty, period, because it's making your life better, it's making your life happier, and keeping them at a distance, making sure that they are the right kind of distance is important to you, and that's all that matters, right?
It might help to remind yourself or to have somebody remind you why you cut them off in the first place. it might be a negative way to think about it, but remembering the reason you had to cut him off might help get rid of those guilty feelings until you can find a more viable coping mechanism.
Yeah, and eventually, you know, if you want to reach out and contact them or, you know, have some sort of connection, that can come. But for now, if you need that sort of distance, make sure that distance is in place. And then find, whether it's through therapy or something else or just time, find the time to do that. So,
anything to add?
No.
Okay.
I feel guilty all the time.
Experiment 625. LGBTQ question for the cis men. Yes, LGBTQs for the straights. Hi, I'm a trans man, he, they, and experiencing the world of men's restrooms. One thing cis guys do baffles me so far. What? One thing cis guys do baffles me so far, and I would love y'all's explanation. No eye contact or speaking outside the stall, but inside the stall, y'all are so loud. Sounds like guttural moans equivalent to early labor echoing in the bathroom every time you shit. Why? Is that bad, or is that good? P.S. I love y'all, and Abs Labs gets me through the long work day. Wish I had time to apply for Abs Labs, but honestly, I would only be able to make y'all sandwiches.
I've actually interviewed Experiment 625, and so very 626. Funny.
626.
626?
This is not... This is Experiment 625. 626 is in Abs Lab. They wanted to apply for Abs Lab, but they couldn't.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Well, so this is not. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I thought that was...
Unless it is, and they just there was a typo, but...
So I'm good. What do you think?
Oh, no. Like, you don't have to make noises when you're, like, taking a poop. But also, like...
I want to know what toilets
you're in. Now I'm curious about what bathrooms you're in. I will say this, like, sometimes... Oh, man, there's some funny, funny videos online of, like...
Yeah.
Of, like, people, like, destroying a Target bathroom. And it's just, like, you can just hear... Like, you can't see anything, but you can just hear this explosion. And it's, like, the funniest thing. I don't know. I think that some people probably need to change their diet, is what that means.
Yes. Yeah, I think men are more likely to eat shit that hurts on the way out than men are. I also think men are way more comfortable blowing up a public restroom and not caring about who hears it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think women just societally are just like way less likely to want other people to hear them. Like I've been like with like a woman comes over to the house, I've had people like turn on a water faucet so that I can't hear them actually going to the bathroom. And I'm like, it's a normal thing. Like, you don't have to be...
I've got a feminine thing I do. I will turn on the water faucet, too, because I think it's just nice to hear, like, water falling. I just think it's nice.
Every time. Every time you open your mouth, I'm like, this is the most right.
I think that a toilet is meant to be blown up. I'm not going to say that I do that. I am very courteous, and I make sure not to be like, until I'm just going to unload everything right here, right now. That being said, I don't think we should judge people for it, because that is its purpose. Its purpose is to make sure that that happens. And of all places, the toilet should be the least shameful place to shit.
Especially if you're in the stall.
Yes, if you're in the stall. That being said, because I do think that's more awkward. It's more awkward for me to listen to a person being like... When you can hear them, like, holding back and being like...
Yeah, just let it go.
Controlled. Let it go and get it over and done with so that we can just, like, move through that situation. It's disgusting. It's gross, but that's what a toilet's for.
And sometimes you can let out a... Nice.
One time...
And they'll be like, nice.
One time, nice, my grandfather went... My grandfather used a toilet, and he came out... And this guy walked up to him and he's like, sir, I would like to shake your hand. And he was like, what? And he's like, I've never heard anyone use a toilet like that. You are a good man. My grandfather was very proud of it, apparently. So,
yeah, don't judge people for making noise. Make noise if you feel it, you know, and don't if you don't.
Eye contact also is weird. I don't know.
It's a bathroom. I don't have anything to talk to you about. Yeah. I don't want to look. I'm talk there to pee and then get out. Like,
yeah.
It's weird to me that women do more stuff in bathrooms than just use the bathroom.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Women bathrooms blow my mind. HC, since you've all performed all over the place, what are some unexpected regional differences in stand-up culture, either from the comedian's perspective or from the audience's perspective, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, domestic versus international attack? P.S. Ben, I saw you in New York City a few weeks ago with some friends. It was awesome. We had pretty high expectations, and you blew them out of the water. I will be pestering more of my friends to see you next time you're back in the area.
Nice. I don't think... Well, actually, people are a lot closer to each other than they think they are.
I would agree.
I could do a show in Spokane, Washington, just as much as I could do a show in New York City, and tell the exact same jokes in the exact same way, and people will laugh the exact same times. People are way closer to being just like everyone else than they think they are. Sometimes I will say things on stage because I know how they'll respond, and it's a game for me. Like, when I was in Portland, I could say Spokane, and they'll go, ew, watch out, it's gross. And if I go to Spokane and I say Portland, they'll say, ew, not Portland, gross. Because they hate each other, and they're the exact same.
Yep, and I can say Utah, and every single time people are like, ew, gross.
49 states go, ugh.
You joke, I have this one joke that literally I'm like, I moved to Utah, and everyone, besides the Utah shows, in Utah that gets like a ha ha ha. Everywhere else that I've at least been with Ben so far has been like, ah, that's the fucking worst.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, yep. The crowd is like gutturally appalled at me moving to Utah.
I love that so much.
So regional differences, there really aren't any. There's some regional jokes that'll only make sense in certain regions, of course. And yes. Sometimes you'll find like cities where like people appreciate it when you make fun of them. But honestly, I haven't been at a show where people got uptight when I made fun of somebody in the crowd. I don't know. I don't know what it is. People are more like everyone else than they think they are.
Yeah.
Okay, Kelly B. Hey Ben, I have a show question for you. What do you typically do in the green room before you go on stage? It was nice to meet you in Connecticut. Hopefully, you have more New England dates next year. Have a great day, Kelly. I do very little. I kind of get there, I unpack my backpack, maybe set up my camera, I'll go through my stickers, make sure I have them. Occasionally, I'll like go through my notes to make sure I'm remembering the jokes that I want to do. But I don't know, I just relax. Maybe I'll eat food if I'm there early enough. I just like to relax. I don't have a routine or anything.
I just have a little mini panic attack every time.
Yeah, you do.
I have a small little mini panic. mini panic attack, and it's, I feel like it's under control a lot better. Ben has seen me at my most extreme.
Yeah.
And that is crazy. But he's also seen me at like minimal.
Yeah.
Where it's like this. But the only reason I do that is so that I make sure that I'm prepared. I just rehearse a couple jokes in my mind that I feel like need rehearsing. Then I eat a candy bar, and then I feel fine, and then I go on stage, and it's fine.
And he dominates. Yeah. I pace. Like, I just
yeah,
kinda, like,
that's all I do. Yeah, I just pace.
Yeah.
A lot.
But I pace, like, not necessarily nervous, just, like, pleasant energy, where I'm like, okay, I've got to, like, move with this. Otherwise, like, I just won't.
Does it make either of you, because you've both been on shows with me now.
Yeah.
Does it make either of you more anxious than you already are to see me not care about anything?
No, because I've seen comedians do it.
Okay.
So I like, as long as, yeah, I have my routine and I feel like that's always helped me. I just am always, I never write anything down.
Yeah.
I'm always committed to memory. And so it always has to be like I need to remember what I've been saying in the past shows. What did I say on that one show? I'm just basically going through everything that I need to go through, and watching someone be calm is like, I'm jealous, but also that's just their process. Yeah,
it doesn't make it worse for me.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, I'm not nervous. Like I'm just like moving
that.
With
yeah.
energy. Yeah,
okay.
It's just the zip.
Cool. John M. says, hey guys, I was hanging out with a few friends and we came up with a new game challenge. We went around the room and we each had to describe everyone else's personality, but only in metaphors. For example, my friend Carly has a great heart of gold and a stomach of steel. I'd love to see you all describe each other in this way. I feel like Ben would be the most difficult to do.
Ben is the heart of a void. Like, that's... Is that hard to do?
That's not even a metaphor!
He's got the heart of a void and the brain of a straight road. Like, it's very clear, there's nothing on it, and if he hits a deer, he doesn't care. Like, that's...
What?
I want to look up a few metaphors to see...
Just some cliches.
Yeah,
I gotta look up some cliches. Ryan...
oh, no.
I don't want to say as timid as a mouse, because I don't think you're timid, but you are.
Oh, let's see.
I don't know.
Something is something else.
Yeah. You'd look up, like, more cliches.
Metaphor cliches?
Just, like, cliches about
Examples.
Someone.
cliches, metaphors, and symbols.
Laughter is the best medicine.
Mm. I don't know if we'll be able to get these right now.
Yeah, it might be fun to do on another episode.
Possibly.
Come through.
I don't think about you guys.
Is Ben.
It, not in like any complex way where I would have to describe it. Okay. I'm just like, yeah, Ryan is Ryan. Ryan Dan is Dan. I don't know. I'm very just simple about my thought processes.
Ben is most likely to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And then, while trying to paint the town red. He's by and large a good dude. He probably won't give you the cold shoulder.
I would.
I think. Yeah, you might.
Life is a roller coaster. Ben's life is a jet.
For Dan, love is a battlefield.
We don't have to. We don't have to do this.
For Dan, love is a battlefield. And I think we would all agree that laughter is the best medicine.
Yes.
And this next one does not describe Ben at all because time is money. And for him, none of those things are real. So,
well, nothing equals nothing.
Brian is a melting pot. And that pot has cheese in it. Mozzarella, to be specific.
I don't think you have a full grasp of what...
No, but I'm loving it.
That's why I'm trying to do it. I'm like, how do I develop this metaphor for these people? Anyway.
Can we take this one? I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yep.
Guys, we got a podcast proposal update from Devin D. Well, Zach would like me to say that he came home from work and watched the episode together. He did say yes to what I think may be Ben's dismay.
A little bit.
But the important detail he wanted to include was that he had been at work as a night custodian, and as he left, he was approached by a cop and told that there had been a shooting nearby. So I was grateful he made it home safe, but also I had a bad day. I found out my cousin has cancer today. Whoa, I'm sorry. And we were very close. I was watching episode 32 by myself, and after being told this, and I had not expected to hear that y'all had read my question proposal, so that helped make my day a lot better. Watching the video together, I was so nervous that I rolled off the couch and onto the floor when Ryan started reading. And yes, Ryan, you and the whole podcast are welcome to the wedding! But we already agreed before proposing that we wanted to have a long engagement, so it may be a while. That's fine. Zach would like to ask, what is y'all's favorite time period in Russian history? Oh, I got you. As we are both history buffs. I, Devin, am in college to be a history teacher. Thank you all for reading my question on the podcast and making our days a little better.
You're very welcome.
And I would just like to answer this one first.
Go for it.
I don't have one. What the fuck?
I don't know enough.
Yeah,
about
I could
Russian
not
history.
Name a period in Russian history.
I guess maybe when like Marx and Tolstoy were prominent in the culture, maybe.
Those are different times.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no answer.
But that's what I'm saying. I would say in one of those periods.
Okay,
of time.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm not trying to say.
So I was like. Those aren't the same period. So there's like Tsarist Russia, where you know the Tsars are taking over. There's also like before, where it's like the Kievan Rus. You've also got like, of course, you have the Communist period, which is a very dark time. And then you've got post. Really, what we've got currently is the gangster era of Russia. You've got the wild 90s, which is like an interesting time period of just Russian gangsterism. That's where we get the like
Adidas suits.
Yes, the track suits. Like that's where it came from because they were knockoffs. Fascinating. I
just
the wild 90s are crazy.
I like the time periods that I do know of Russia. I don't think I would want to. I don't know if those are my favorite. Well,
would you
want
to live in Russia?
Well, like in terms of like interesting culture. My favorite movie is The Death of Stalin. One of my favorite movies, just because it's so crazy to me that that's like those were real life events that happened and they are so comedically done. Right? Yeah. Like, all they had to do was portray real-life events, and it's so funny. So that, for me, is pretty interesting, and I'm like, oh, that's fun. But also, I'm like, but a lot of fucking people died. And
yeah.
That's where I'm like, oh, the favorite part of it has gone out of the equation at this point. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Still don't have one. Still don't have an answer. The Wild 90s sounds like a fun time.
Wild 90s was crazy.
Maybe when they killed Rasputin. I guess.
1917.
Yeah, there we go.
I got you.
I know, bro. Yeah. Okay, here's one from Absolutely Not Labs. Good evening, gentlemen. I came across this question and was a little hesitant to send it. It's a little spicier than what is usually expected from us at the lab. I put the question to our IG followers and they overwhelmingly encouraged me to send it. Ryan may or may not have given it his endorsement as well. So here it is. If you had the ability to give anyone an orgasm just by pointing finger guns at them and saying, pew, How would you flagrantly misuse this power? Bonus points if you tell us a specific person, not yourself, who you would use the power on, and why.
I love, in all caps, not yourself.
We'll be publishing a survey link on our IG page if anyone in the audience wants to vote on who has the best answer. Have fun with this one, guys. Cheers. Absolutely not Labs.
Oh, so many people. I would use it all the time. I think that would be hilarious. Bank tellers is my very first go-to. That's how I'd rob banks. Very politely.
Hey, thank you. Pew.
Pew. Well, just can you imagine stepping out like...
I'm trying to think that... Okay, but that yeah, where does it, like...
So I would not use it on anybody who has not expressly given me consent.
That's what
to
I was gonna say. That's
orgasm.
What I was gonna say. It's a scary
weirdo.
This is
you
not
friggin' weirdo.
This is not like you're having sex with them. This is just randomly the Earth, like in rotation. Can you imagine if you just sporadically, like it's like that disease where people just spontaneously have orgasms. That's a disease.
But that's the thing.
And you can't blame anybody for that disease.
But
sure,
I would hate to do that to someone at like a work situation where like someone's working and it's like if you do that to the person at Walmart who's stacking shelves and then you're like pew and they're like oh like, I'm not gonna react to that.
Oh, I do it to politicians during speeches.
Yes, I would do it to bad people. I'd be like, and you pew 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 and
lawyers.
Just have them be like yeah. I would use it in that way. Terrible people deserve that type of punishment, I feel like.
Also, lawyers during their closing arguments, I don't care which side you're on. I'm just gonna sit in the pew pew! Yeah, good luck giving that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bad people deserve that type of punishment, and so I would use that as a superpower.
There's
sure.
way worse punishments for bad people.
True.
And
but
I would like to enact
them. Can you think of a worse punishment than ruining orgasms for someone?
Ruining orgasms?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing.
That's what you're doing. You're ruining orgasms.
You're giving them an orgasm.
Yeah, but,
yeah. But if you do
time,
it
it's...
if you do it over and over
you're
again.
You're ruining a situation.
Yes.
You're not ruining it. The orgasm still feels good every time.
No. Have you watched the documentaries of people that have that as like a medical condition? They hate it.
Exactly.
They absolutely hate life. They're like, I cannot stand when it happens because it happens so often. So that's what I would do. I would ruin it for them so that every time they have sex, they think of me. And they think, I hate this part of my life.
Daniel.
I hate this exact moment. And they would never want to do it again. I would go into...
Congress?
Well, I would go to, like, honestly, you go into, and maybe this is, like, a terrible one, too, but I'd go into, like, people that have raped people and be like, is it fun now? Is it fun? And you torch the fuck out of them until they literally have nothing left. That's what I would do. I would absolutely torture them.
Castration through orgasm. Interesting.
Like, literally, to the point where their penises bleed. I would do that. Maybe that's dark. That's a real dark.
I mean, maybe it's dark. I'll tell you that for free.
That's very dark.
Very dark.
That's very dark. But they deserve it, and I'm going to do it. I would do that happily. This is an interesting question because it brought out a side of me that I've never thought about. But yeah, I'd do it.
I don't think I would do it to anybody without consent. However, I would make sure the word got out that I had this ability.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
Sure. Hey, you want to come back to my place? At the end, I'll keep
hey, we don't have to have sex. I can just get you off if you need.
I know. I'm just thinking, just like in not even like in a for me kind of way. I just want people that are in that know like have to interact with me to know that I could do it at any point, at any time. And just in the worst situations, not actually do it, but just stand there like this, staring. And just, yeah?
Yeah?
Watch yourself. You know, if I'm in Congress, right? They know.
They know.
They
you get
know.
On national TV.
This is the Finger Guns orgasm guy. He will be coming to you live.
Yeah. And I'm just like, someone's talking, and it's a...
Not
it's
just picturing,
a,
like, a day where they're like, and the Finger Gun orgasm guy will be in town.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
SWAT has surrounded the Finger Gun orgasm guy.
Exactly.
No one can take him out because he keeps giving them orgasms.
No, but I wouldn't. That's the thing. It would just be the mental game of making them think I'm going to.
God, you're so chaotic.
See, I wouldn't
That's
do it for that
weird.
Chaotic. I'd just do it for the reputation and be like... If people came up to me and they were like, please, I'd be like, yeah, pew, and I'd walk away.
Yeah, but that's consent.
Yeah, that's
why it is.
That's the only time I would ever use it on someone that
wasn't
a bad person. Yes.
See, I would do it. I would play that mental game because I think that's way worse than ruining an orgasm for them, is ruining everything for them when I'm around.
That's just a power thing.
Yeah, no, it's not even a power thing. It's
and
just,
that's what gets you all.
See? No, it doesn't.
I don't know.
Does it? Yeah, I'd be like hungry to somebody making like a debate against a thing, and I think they were just a terrible person. I would just very casually just kind of like lean back, finger gun at them, and they know that I can, but I don't. I just kind of... Because that's all they can think about now.
Have you guys ever seen
They're
Doom
derailed.
Patrol?
What, Doom Patrol?
Yeah,
no.
Doom Patrol. They have an episode where they're stuck in a town and the bad guy, the evil villain, makes everyone orgasm in the town. And it's the most horrifying and weird scene I've ever had to watch as a superhero fan in my entire
wow.
life.
Powerful move.
Yes. It was crazy. Anyway, thank
right.
you for the question.
Absolutely. Those are answers. Some of them got dark, some of them got chaotic. All right, Abby S. writes, what is your least favorite state? State of depression.
Hey.
I don't know enough
states
state
to do
dismay.
It. And I've honestly, like, even living in, like, Utah's beautiful. I like it.
Yeah.
There are places that I genuinely, like, just don't know anything about. Even when we went to, like, the Dakotas, I was like, it's still, like, a nice place.
Yeah,
I don't
dislike.
I'm not living here, so I don't know it, but...
I know this is my wheelhouse, but I don't have a least favorite state. I really don't. Again, I don't
the
think
state
about,
of depression.
I don't think about them. They just are.
They just are. Hey, guys, from Kelly B. Hey, guys, I hope you all got some much-needed rest over the holidays. Today's question was inspired by an On This Day Facebook post. What movie have you watched from start to finish that made you cringe and may have traumatized you? Mine was a movie called Senseless, and I'm not talking about the comedy one with Marlon Wayans. I was about to be like, yeah. This one stars Jason Baer, I don't know who that is, and isn't for the faint of heart. Have a great day, Kelly. Trolls. Troll 2. Was
Trolls
crazy.
2?
Troll 2.
Troll 2.
Yeah. It was filmed in Utah.
Troll 2. The streets. Sorry.
I mean, no. There's literally a scene where this woman is trying to seduce this man, and she makes popcorn because it gets so hot and steamy. And she's a witch, and fills a room full of popcorn. And it pops. I think it's actually a van. I think it's like a what's the van? RV?
Yeah.
She fills the RV with popcorn. From
and that movie
getting so sexy.
Traumatized you.
It traumatized me. It left me.
You can't eat popcorn anymore?
I don't like popcorn anymore, that's for sure.
All right.
I can enjoy it occasionally, but then Troll 2 pops up in my mind and I'm like, ugh. You know what actually did traumatize me? Was that weird movie. It's like the weird, whatchamacallit, spoof of Star Trek.
Space Quest. Okay, that's a good one. I like
that's
that.
A good one.
I
Do you remember when the little baby aliens? I was like 6 years old when I watched it. There's those little baby aliens, and they're all drinking water from a puddle, and they're like, "Oh, the injured one's coming," and there's like an injured one, and it's got like a sore foot, and they're like, "Oh, they're looking after him," and
then
he starts like drinking, and it's like, yeah. Then they all get vicious and they eat it. That has stayed with me since 6 years old, and I think about it at least every few months. Like I'm like. That's the most disturbing thing I ever watched in my entire life.
Dude, for me, it's not even a movie. It's specifically, I was young when I watched it, it was a scene from Hey Arnold, where Arnold becomes, like, good at karate and, like essentially hits this guy in such a way that his pants fall down.
Yes.
And the kid was like, I was just asking for directions. And it was just, like, this total loser kid who I just felt so bad for.
Yeah.
Because it was just, like, he did nothing wrong and then was just accidentally bullied. And then Arnold wasn't trying to do the wrong thing. I was like, what a horrible situation. And I was just like, that sticks with me to this day where I'm just like, man.
And cringiest form of media?
Oh, Velocipastor. I don't know if you've ever seen
it. That one was, yeah.
It's great.
That one was
so,
crazy.
I had one that traumatized me, but it was only because of the context. I'm no longer scared of anything. But Signs. I watched Signs, the one with the alien for the first time when I was like 8 years old.
Yep.
I was in an RV in the middle of the woods at like 1 a.m.
Bad idea.
Wow.
And I didn't know what it was, and I watched it. Everyone was asleep. I was the only one awake. I was by myself in an RV in the middle of the woods, in the middle of just like in middle America. And I watched it and I was terrified of aliens. But now I'm not.
Oh.
Yeah. Now I jumped on an alligator a few years later and nothing really
scared after that. This is a long
from Sarah P. Hey guys, been catching up on the podcast and heard the listener stories and had some about myself and friends I wanted to share. First is how my parents met. My mom was the good girl growing up, became a hippie, then became the first female officer in my small Michigan hometown's police force. My dad was the classic bad boy, never graduating from high school, where the teachers would bum cigarettes off him. That's hilarious. My dad, being the bad boy, drove a motorcycle. He hit a patch of gravel and lost control, hitting a guide wire on a telephone pole. He broke his collarbone, shattered his arm, and nearly decapitated himself. My mom was the first cop to arrive on the scene. Hey, look at him. He's kind of attractive. Wow. And that is how they initially met. Afterwards, they kept running into each other several times around the town and eventually started dating. As I said, my...
what do you got?
I'm just like, is your dad committing crimes? He's like...
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
I need to commit a crime to see that hot officer.
Stop speeding. Oh, my God.
You're so bad.
As I said, my dad was a bad boy and never graduated high school, so he had a lot of jobs that I would have never thought the man who raised me would have had. These included, but not limited to, pool hustler.
Good for him.
Bouncer. Mm-hmm. An exotic male dancer in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
He and my mom now live a quiet life and enjoy being retired, eating edibles and spoiling their 117-pound dog.
Mm. I'm the dog.
Oh, my gosh. I heard the Alabama saga about the pregnant girl, her brother, and ex. It reminded me of a good friend of mine who had something similar happen. He and his high school girlfriend decided to lose their virginity to each other, and as soon as he entered, he said out loud, "I think I'm gay." They remain good friends and laugh about it now. Love the show. Hope I was able to repay just a few of the laughs you guys have given me. Much love and support, Sarah. Oh my gosh, as soon as you entered, "I think I'm gay." Like, it just...
Yeah. Of the things to say.
You sure there's not a bad time for things, Ben?
Bottom of the list is pew. And then right below that is, "I think I'm gay." But yeah, not a bad time.
Wow.
Not a bad time.
That's really funny, though.
Yeah.
That's really, really funny.
Not the worst time.
Not the best.
I think I'm gay.
Next question from Joy M. If you were a Pokemon, which Pokemon would you be? And what would you say the other two would be, and why? Ben, if you were a Pokemon, I'd say you're either Mew, because you're unpredictable, or Totodile, because you're small and determined, and one of its abilities is sheer force. Dan, I'd say you're either Venusaur, or one of its previous evolutions, because you're calm but determined and know how to handle things.
Yay!
Ryan, I'd say you're either Jigglypuff, because of how innocent and non-confrontational it is, or Mr. Mime, because it seems like an innocent, almost completely defenseless Pokemon, but is quite the opposite.
Aww, that's cute.
How do you feel when these things happen?
Oh, you mean when people say things like that to my face?
Yeah.
But he's a fire fairy.
I am a fire fairy. No, you know, at this point, like, this is how I kind of got into stand-up, is like, people would just say things to my face, but it was like, that's funny. Like really, my stand-up is just hurtful things people have said to me that I now say, "Hey, guys, were they right?"
I've claimed
it. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's it. So, which Pokemon would I be and who would you guys be? These are good questions. So there's 898 Pokemon.
My favorite is Totodile. You nailed that. And I think if I would be a Pokemon, I would be Totodile.
Mm-hmm. I would love to be a Bulbasaur. I don't know if I have that energy, though. I love that whole family.
I think you'd be a Chikorita.
I was about to literally say that.
Yeah, because you think it's a girl, but there are boys.
Dang it. Dang it.
Very fun.
Dan, I don't know why I think you're...
What's the pre-evolution of Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan? The one that, like, spins on...
Tyrogue? Or no, that's Hitmontop, but that's not...
Hitmontop is Hitmonlee. Yeah. Hitmonlee. Tyrogue.
Hitmonlee is kicking, Hitmonchan is punching, Hitmontop is...
Hitmontop is the kicking one.
Is the neutral.
Well, the one that spins,
on his
spins
head.
Yeah.
And then Tyrogue is the one that evolves into the
I feel like that's you.
Yeah, you're Hitmontop.
You're Hitmontop.
I'm Hitmontop?
I feel like you would just... Yeah. You just would dominate people with your legs. And be constantly spinning.
Terrified
that's just
of that
how
whole
I feel.
Sense.
That's
yeah, and the whole time I'm yelling, top, 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 top.
Well, at least you know
as a gay man,
yeah, I know.
Turn. Top, 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 top.
I was like, about to say, at least you know what energy
what
he gives off.
I knew what I said.
Dan, I don't know why, but I think you'd be a Lickitung. And I said,
okay.
I'm not sure why.
No, keep going.
No, I don't like where I went with this, but like, I think you'd be a Lickitung, and I'm not sure why.
Why?
the very capable Pokemon, surprisingly. Sure. You have a paralysis effect. You could easily stun people.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, with your tongue.
With my tongue.
That good at stunning.
Mm. I don't know, man. I don't know what I was thinking when I opened up my mouth before my brain had finished thinking.
Yeah, you did.
I agree with you, though.
Oh, weirdly, thank you.
Weirdly enough, I do. I see myself being a Lickitung, as weird as that sounds.
Also Hitmontop, for sure.
Hitmontop?
Just so chaotic.
It just feels chaotic, and it feels like the right kind of chaotic for you, where it's like...
Still effective, but chaotic.
Yeah. Super fast, super reflective, like, has its reflexes on point.
Yeah, if you asked the three fighting Pokemon, like, what's the best way to get through this, and Hitmonlee stands up and kicks, and then Hitmonchan stands up and punches, and then Hitmontop is like, oh, hold on. Spin. I like what you've done. But I'm gonna make it a little bit better.
Well, but I'm a Chikorita.
Chikorita is a powerful Pokemon.
It is.
I'd beat Totodile.
Magnanium.
Would you beat Totodile?
Nah, probably not.
Ice Fang.
I'd still. I'm faster though.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you faster than Feraligatr?
Yeah. Feraligatr's only got 60 speed. I'm building one with a. Right now.
And... All right. But I could just withstand the.
You might be able to, if you EV'd into HP enough, and or maybe into, like, the right defense, maybe, but I think that your special defense is pretty low.
This took a weird turn.
Yeah, sorry, I got really specific.
Okay. All right. Dan?
Cool. Zachary K says, hey, guys, so question, what was the dumbest thing you ever got in trouble for in school? I would love to see if you have anything better than getting in detention for coloring a banana blue in a freshman Spanish class. Anyway, I love the podcast. It really helps me get through my day. Later. Thanks, Zachary K.
Reacted immediately.
I got one pink slip one time because it was during study hall and I was playing video games.
But that's not a dumb thing on your part. That's a dumb thing on the school.
Yeah, but I just think it was dumb.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got in trouble one time because I was skipping Spanish in chemistry. So it was in the same hall and I had Spanish 3 and then a couple doors down was my chemistry teacher. And he was super cool. We liked it. And me and, like, two other people from my Spanish class were in the chemistry class skipping Spanish. And one of them, Randy, decided that he wanted to show us that he could lay on his back, pop up, and then land on his feet. This was in high school, so we were like, yeah, a kip up, sure. He goes back, starts the kip up, farts. Falls back on his back. We all bust out laughing. A few of us have very recognizable laughs. Spanish teacher walks down the hall into the chemistry room, looks right past us. We were standing in the doorway. She looks right past us at the chemistry teacher and goes, excuse me, do you have a couple of my students? And my chemistry teacher goes, if you see them, take them. And so she grabbed the three of us and, like, gave us a stern lecture outside of her room before we had to walk back in there. But yeah, I got in trouble because someone farted during a kip up and we couldn't stop laughing about it.
That's really funny.
While skipping class in a class down the hall.
Well.
We weren't the brightest.
I'm trying to think of... I got in trouble a lot, but it was usually just because people thought I was a troublesome boy, but I really wasn't. The weirdest one was I was skipping there was an athletics day.
Okay.
There's a few. maybe this is a whole podcast by itself, but Daniel getting in trouble. But there was an athletics day, and my friend had downloaded a Family Guy episode, and we didn't get Family Guy in Zimbabwe at all.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I really want to watch this show.
Yeah.
He downloaded it on his PSP and was like, you want to watch this? And I was like, yeah. We went up into the school, so while everyone else is out at the Interhouse Athletics Day, they're, like, doing, like, it's like Harry Potter.
That's what it sounded like.
Houses, Interhouse stuff, everyone's running. I'm not involved at all. You just have to be there because it's compulsory. Right. And so I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go and sit on the lockers and watch Family Guy.
Sure.
I'm laughing hysterically. I'm trying to be quiet. I'm being like, there was a man, his name was Mr. Vincent, he was our headmaster, and he, like... was very well known for being, like, he was so intimidating. Like, the most stern man. I'm, like, 13 years old, very awkward.
Yeah.
He walks in and he's like, what are you watching? I show him, and it's just Peter Griffin naked with his stomach down. And he's like, what the hell is that? And he's like, you know what? I was gonna, like, shout at you.
But I feel like this is just a very weird situation to be a part of, so you just need to get back to the field.
I ran away, and yeah, that was just the weirdest moment of my entire life.
I love that you out-awkwarded him. Like, you're like,
yeah. He just saw a naked cartoon man and was like, what the hell? This child is in a different
level. I don't get paid enough to deal with this.
Yeah, it was just very weird. So. All
right, we're going to make this one the last one of the episode, so cool. Ryan.
Sounds good. From Emily S., we've got, hi, I've been a fan of Ryan and Ben since quarantine started last year. I remember when the podcast came out and I originally started listening, but then sadly forgot. I kept watching the clips on TikTok page and have been binge listening to you guys for a few days, and right now I'm on episode 20. Anyways, I love you all so much, and I'm glad this podcast introduced me to Dan. Anyways, I have two questions. Why does square pizza box contain a round pizza that you eat in triangles? Also, without having to go into too much detail, what's the favorite childhood memory for you guys? P.S. I said Ryan might want to read this because it's longer than I expected. I also enjoy hearing Ryan talk really fast. Why, yes. Thank you. We do love a speed read.
Okay, so you cut round pizza into triangles because that's just... it. That's what makes sense.
That's geometry.
Physics. It's geometry. You can take a round pizza.
Dan's confidence in physics.
There's something called a Chicago style cut, which is like squares, but that makes some of the pieces uneven and so far. So
that's why triangles are the easiest. I hate eating a square piece. I don't know how you guys feel about it. It's still kind of a similar approach, but I just feel like it's better to have the crust. It's just ergonomic, right?
Yeah.
The crust places its hand and it goes with your hand, and that's the perfect slice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Right? And if you're putting it in a circular box, odds are that circle is probably going to take up just as much room as the square would. Mm. You just have like a couple inches, square inches, wherever, here and there. But like odds are you put it somewhere, you put it into a corner, that back corner is still being unused. It's easier to stack and hold square boxes. They're actually, they hold up better. It's way easier to make a firm square box than it is to make a firm circular box. Also, if you put it in a circle...
sauces.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no room for the sauces.
Yep.
Where would you put the sauces?
You need some extra space for the sauces.
And then, like, little pepperoncinis or whatever they got.
Pepperoncinis, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second question is, without having to go into too much detail, what's a favorite childhood memory for you guys?
Oh.
I don't remember my childhood.
I either mixing concrete with my grandfather or, like, sitting on his shoulders watching Blue's Clues.
One that I've been...
cereals.
I love that.
Yeah.
One that I've been thinking about a lot recently is we used to go to this cabin that my dad's company used to own, and it was like a timeshare, and it was this random cabin in this place called Nyanga, and it was on a dam, and I just remember loving it. I've been having like a lot of, you guys know how crazy my dreams get.
Yeah.
I was on tour with Ben, and I had another Komodo dragon.
Shut up! No way!
This time it was fuzzy and blue. It was very weird, but I've been having a lot of dreams about Nyanga, weirdly enough, and just, like, being at the cabin, and it's been, like, really wholesome, and, like, I always wake up feeling really good. So, Nyanga.
I have a question. Do you want to do that one? Because it's real short and sweet.
Okay, yeah. I don't remember my childhood. I wish I could give you a memory, but I don't really remember anything. Most of it is just quick snippets, and none of them are very happy. Sorry!
Do you need a hug?
No.
Okay, just checking.
We'll do the last one here.
Would your therapist disagree with your need of a hug?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think she thinks I'm doing pretty well.
Okay.
Dan?
Shauna L. says, after listening to episode 22, I'm half convinced that Ben is the lead in some Disney adventure. With that being said, what Disney cinematic worlds would you all like to be in?
Disney adventure?
Yeah, Treasure Planet would be so dope.
Treasure Planet would be awesome. Atlantis would be cool.
Yes.
The idea of, like, it being real.
I feel like if you were going to put me as a lead in Disney Adventure, it probably would be Atlantis or Treasure Planet.
Yeah.
Just the most chaotic, like, I'm not going to take no, we're going to find it kind of energy.
Yeah.
I could see you being in Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
That's so much chaos.
As what?
Is Kronk's... is, like...
Kronk's son?
Yeah, it's like...
jump roping?
No, maybe, like... like
or, no, that's... Pacha, Pacha's, yeah.
I just see you being like a like Kronk, essentially just being like a chaotic, just shorter version of Kronk, being like, oh yeah, definitely poisoned him. Like, like an effective Kronk, you know what I mean?
That would be an efficient Kronk?
Yeah.
I wouldn't use poison then.
No, but I think you'd have fun with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Is Marvel included in this? as a Disney. I think we should stick to Disney's. Disney Cinematic Universe.
What Disney Cinematic World would you like to be in?
I also see you in Tangled. I feel like you would be one of, like, the bar guy. No, but that's a gay bar, so me. But,
Would I be Flynn? Is that what you...
Yeah, so, well, just in that world. That realm feels chaotic in and of itself.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, if I was to put you in a movie, it would have to be something like that, where it feels, like, funny... Like, you almost have, like, the horse energy in the Tangled.
Right? Maximus?
Yeah, where it's, like, efficient, but, like, kind of, like, insane.
I mean, the good comedic relief.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's exactly correct. But, like, efficient and, like...
What about, like, Wreck-It Ralph or Wall-E?
No, I don't see him in Wall-E. Wall-E's too, like... Wall-E.
Yeah. I would be in Wall-E, but I'd be the human leading the charge to go back to colonizing planets and stopping to get off the... I would be the one guy running around not in the pod.
Little pod.
Yeah. Like, you're all being manipulated! Yeah!
Yeah.
I'd be
no,
like,
this is real!
Yeah, they'd be like, why are there little fires being lit everywhere in this ship? And then I'd be like, ha ha ha, I brought fire!
Yeah. I just feel like... Yeah.
I brought fire.
Ryan, what do we think Ryan would be in? Frozen. I don't know. It just feels right? Maybe?
Is Trolls a Disney movie?
No, that's DreamWorks.
Zootopia.
Oh.
What animal would I be in Zootopia?
A meerkat.
I love that a lot.
You'd be a meerkat in Zootopia.
Just me, just perched somewhere. Just, hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
You're like, whoop, whoop.
Oh, he scares easily, huh?
There he goes, back to burrowing.
All right, did we get everyone?
I think so.
All right, that is it. That is all. Thank you once again for tuning in to episode 40 of The Good, The Dan, The Florida Man. We hope we said or did something this episode to make you want to tune in next week. If you want to find us outside of the podcast, Dan, where can they find you?
Dan Bam Bam on all social media except for Snapchat, which is Dan_YOLO_LOVE.
Ryan. YouthPastorRyan.com. Links to everything there. Ben?
You can find my website as BenBrainerd.com. Brainerd spelled brain, like the one in your head, A-R-D. If you can't figure that out, try using yours. I have links to all my social medias on there as well. The podcast has a new website, too. It's called GDFMPodcast.com. Uh-huh. Yes. You can find all of our links to wherever we put the podcast on there. You can contact the podcast at podcast@GDFMPodcast.com. And you can sign up for our Patreon as well and support us. Make sure that we have enough money to keep doing this week in and week out. We appreciate you doing it. The cheapest you can do is like $3 a month, which isn't much, but everything stacks up, so we appreciate you doing it.
Do that.
That is it. That is all. We'll see you next week.
Bye! Bye.